हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विदृशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 76. If Jashoda, with desire to do good to her son, and being stubborn, would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord, then between the Lord and the devotee's stubbornness prevails. Thus, seeing his mother becoming tired, the Lord gave up his own stubbornness, and by his mercy allowed himself to be tied. His mercy is the king of all Shaktis, illuminating all else. It melts the heart of the Lord as if it were butter. Mercy's appearance made the Satisankalpa and Vibhuti Shakti suddenly disappear. The shortage of two fingers was filled by effort, Parishrama, and mercy, Kripa. Right, so the effort is from the devotee's side, the mercy is from the Lord's side.
Maharaj, and can you say that this Parishrama and Kripa are the eternal principles?
Can we say that they are? Yes, they're always there.
Because
we can't not necessarily that they are the, but they are always there. Because the endeavor, just that you do an endeavor, but it has to be endeavor according to the, you know, directions of the acharyas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's going to be fine points. So just that you're endeavoring. But the point is all the different aspects are going to be there is expressed through endeavor, as we said. You have knowledge, you know what the goal is, but how do you connect it to it? It's through endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The effort and fatigue due to service and worship, the steady faith of the devotee, bhakti nishtha, and the mercy of the Lord arising from seeing that effort and fatigue, the steady quality in the Lord, svanishtha. These two, endeavor and mercy, cause the Lord to be bound. As long as these are not there, the rope remains two fingers too short.
Mm-hmm.
When these two fingers are there, the Lord is bound. The Lord himself showed to his mother how only love can bind him. This is what the pastime illustrates. Right. So it says, you know, the steadiness of the faith of the devotee. So that's the actual point. And the steady quality of the Lord. So those two together, then when that matches, then the Lord shows his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. When we talk about mercy here, or in general, it's a specific mercy or general mercy? Because here it's very specific, it's on a very high level. When we talk about our own lives, the Lord always shows mercy.
But the point is that it's the mercy in relationship to the devotion. Right? So it says, in other words, the steady faith of the devotee, bhakti nishtha. So to that degree that there's faith, to that degree that mercy is manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as we have that faith, then he reciprocates.
So we talk about personal here. So we do feel mercy, but it might be quite general in our lives. Is that correct?
But if we're experiencing it, is it general?
Specific.
Yes. So that's the thing, is that because we're experiencing it, but it may not be what we're looking for. That's why we may think it's not personal.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it is, because it's then what matches our position and what we're doing. So to that degree, we have that faith. To that degree, then the Lord, he reciprocates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point of the effort, isn't just the point. It means the effort means effort, and fatigue due to service and worship, the steady faith of the devotee. Right? Does that make sense? So we just say parishrama itself, effort, but it has to be defined what is that effort.
Maharaj,
Maharaj, can we say that causeless mercy, where the parishrama is not in the picture, is an exceptional case?
Is causeless mercy the exception? The Prabhupada said about all the devotees that they've taken up devotional service through the causeless mercy. So, where's the exception? See, is that if we're thinking, I did this work, therefore I deserve it, then that's not going to work. So it's not your effort, it's that through devotion you're willing to show effort. So the effort is the expression of devotion. It's not that the effort itself gains the results. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada summarizes, when Mother Jashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna's devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Jashoda. So he said, all these different energies are all working at once, like that. So we see that this mercy then is the highest of them all. And then we see his Lord Chaitanya, he's known for being merciful. And whose mood is he taking? Right, so therefore Radharani is the top. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Srila Prabhupada comments, this pastime of Krishna is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, darshayams tad vidham loka atmano bhakta vatsyatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.9. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotees. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.35, Eko pyasaura chaitum jagaranda kotim yach chakshurasti jagaranda chayayadantaha andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govindam adipurusham tamahang vijani. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods, yet he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Jashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam. Brahma Samhita 5.29. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna. Yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee. But a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. Right? So when we simply try to use the intelligence to understand, then we'll never actually understand, because the intelligence can't, logic can't actually define. But if in our devotional service we apply our intelligence and the logic to serving Krishna, then we can understand. Because the whole point is Krishna allows, we understand. Krishna doesn't allow, we do not understand. So that's why then much of the time those who consider themselves intelligent will find faults, because all these contradictions they cannot reconcile. Right, and you can see it reflected in their own life, is that sometimes they have great difficulty in actually socially interacting with other people. They can't deal with contradictions. Mm-hmm. Right, so they put themselves in an environment in which they seemingly have no contradictions. No, if you look at it, there's tons of contradictions. How can they be so smart but not even be able to tie their shoelaces. You know, stuff like that. But whatever it is, they don't see. They can't appreciate. They cannot reconcile contradictions. Mm-hmm. So in the Vedic system, the ability to reconcile contradictions, that's considered a position, that's considered a better position. So Narad Muni is famous for that, is he can reconcile all seeming contradictions of the Shastra, because Shastra never contradicts itself. The Acharyas never contradict each other. There is no such thing. People in a so-called intellectual state try to find such contradictions, or without looking come across, and then they become bewildered. But that's due to lack of intelligence, lack of mercy. We're dependent more on the intelligence, therefore, then, you know, Krishna, okay, you want to use your intelligence, then figure it out. How you'll figure it out? How do you figure out unlimited? That's totally contradictory. Right? That's not going to work. So you want to do it? Go for it. But if we surrender to Krishna and act through devotion, then it becomes revealed. As it mentions, to the devotees, it's revealed. He controls everything, but he's controlled by such a devotee. So that's the whole point, is that that devotion to Krishna, that's what catches his attention, not what we're doing. Right? That we're doing what we're doing with devotion, that's what he appreciates. Now let's say one's very, very expert, knowledgeable, professional at what one does. That's fine. So one will engage that in Krishna's service. To do anything less than professional would not be a symptom of devotion. But it's not because one's professional. That's why it'll catch Krishna's attention. It's because you're applying devotion. So someone who's not professional, they apply the same quality of devotion, they please Krishna just as much. Right? So it's not about the secondary. Right? So we have to be careful not to overemphasize the secondary. No, we shouldn't overemphasize the ropes. We should have to emphasize the devotion. Mm. Does that make sense?
You know,
I'm saying, so let us say we expand the pastime by going on with all these ropes and turn it into a half an hour discussion just on that point. Now, as long as we're seeing that connected to Krishna, then it's expanding our appreciation of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So then it's not a bad thing. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's nice. But if we get distracted by the rope thing and get all into the rope thing, then we've missed the point. That's why you see Prabhupada at points where it could become distracted, he doesn't go there. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And he's always warning us about those distractions. That's why it seems contradictory. That here Prabhupada says you should do this, another place he says that's useless. Right? But that useless doesn't mean it's not done. It's useless if it's not done connected to Krishna. So we just see the word useless, not the part connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's useless. We just say, oh, it's useless. You know what I'm saying? And so you should engage your nature in Krishna's service. We just see, oh, I engage my nature and anything else is useless. So what did we miss? Right? That's why one has to be careful. One can't miss this point that it's about the bhakti. That's what's being expressed here. Because all other things then don't matter if it's not done according to bhakti. Otherwise, how do you say, daksha, does he do rituals good? Right? He's known as expert. Right? And so therefore, but he's not known as a devotee. Right? Like that. He has a good understanding of the Lord, the position of the Lord, but he's not devoted to the Lord. At least not in all the things, except for in the Hamsaguya prayers, then we don't see anything like that. So, someone says, yeah. So, that's the whole point. You can be so good, you're not going to get anyone more professional. It means of all of Brahma's sons, you could say Daksha is the professional. Right? But it's still not enough. Narad Muni is just a brahmachari and the four kumaras are not even that. You know? And Lord Shiva, we won't even get into that one. He doesn't even dress properly. Right? And these are the topmost. So that's the whole. This britya vatsyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant, right? So it means he's controlled, he's captured, he's controlled. But it doesn't mean he's actually under the control. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love.
Yes.
That's the whole point. This is a very, very fine point. And if it's not understood, it will make mess in everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So it's about the devotion that we're doing. The devotion which we apply. We said we all have a conditioned nature, so that means we have a particular knowledge and skills and abilities. Therefore can produce certain results. But that's not what interests Krishna. It's the devotion in which that is engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's about the relationship. It's not about the things.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to remember is, do we need to generate things for Krishna since Krishna already is those things? Whatever you generate as a result of your activity, Krishna is already that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the process to get that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the knowledge and you know, the knowledge that it, but one could therefore apply to get that. He's already that. So, therefore, why would that be interesting to him? But you already have that. Yes.
The difficulty is that we can't really separate devotee from the devotion.
Yes.
Interconnected.
Yes, of course. But what we're pointing out here is that we don't. But just in case, we do. To understand, then we show the difference. Is that the devotee's devotion is what is catching the Lord, not the devotee's action. But the action is based on devotion. That's why there's a non-difference. So when we take it from the action and then try to connect that back to Krishna, it's about the action, not the devotion. Right? So therefore, if we overemphasize the action, then that's going to be a fault. Now in the beginning, that may be good, because then, like you were saying before, then we give more effort. So we're giving 100% of our effort, so that's good. But it should be is that 100% of effort is in pursuance of that devotion. But if we think it's just the effort, that was what made it so good. That's why it was such good, so good devotionally. Then we'll miss the point. Right? Someone's cooking some very simple preparation. Someone else is making something very elaborate. If they make the mistake that because I'm cooking this elaborate, I have more devotion, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they cook. They cook elaborate. So that's what, of course they're going to do that for Krishna. The other person cooks simple. Of course they're going to do that for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only, basically we only have to point out the difference if there's a problem. There's no problem, we don't have to separate between the primary and secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, if the arrangements were really good and the mood was really good, we don't have to separate the two.
Right.
But if one or the other is prominent and out of balance, then we'll point out which one was weak. You know, like I said before, make some nice arrangements, and either the arrangements were fabulous but there was no mood, or the mood was great, but where's the arrangements? You know what I'm saying? Guy gets down on his knee, pulls out one of you know, those plastic rings from the bubblegum machine. You know? You know what I'm saying? If somehow or another it comes up just at that moment and all there is the bubblegum machine, then yeah, of course, it's something special. But at some point it should turn into, you know, gold and diamonds. You know? Is that? Yeah? Yeah. So the whole thing is it has to balance. So that's the only reason we're pointing it out. Otherwise, in a normal thing, we don't point it out. But it's just so that we as sadhakas can tell the difference. Otherwise, then we may say is that this thing of control, but what's actually controlling? Just like you have this thing of husband controls the wife, right? Or, you know, like this kind of thing. But the whole point is it's not the external thing, it's the devotion. It's the mood. That's what controls. Just like the wife, she controls the husband. Right? So it's just like, it's again the opposites of the same thing. So it's compatible. He externally is controlling, but it's about the internal mood that is the actual control. In other words, if he controls but doesn't have the attitude, the wife won't be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
The same time as she reciprocates with the attitude, You know, that's the obvious, but underlying, she's controlling. So that's the whole thing, is through service, through surrender, that's where control comes. So with Krishna, then it's that devotion, that's what controls, not the action. So we take it, oh, he has to do this, she has to do that. No, it's the attitude that's actually the thing. And the, what's done is simply symptoms of the attitude. So that subtlety we see is it has very a great effect on us here. Because a lot of times these social things, that's the problem. So we try to control through the secondary instead of the primary. And the difference being the masculine, the secondary is obvious, or the feminine, the secondary is always hidden. So that's the whole aspect of here is that why is that? Because that's the way it is with Krishna. Krishna is independent. So it's because of, let's say in this case, the wife's mood that she's controlled. But the whole point is he has to be able to be controlled. Otherwise, then what's the point? Be so self-centered. So Krishna is kind, has that thing. Because Sringara Rasa is called Karuna, Karunya, which means mercy. Because it's based on the moods. So these are things that are not necessarily appreciated. So you follow these things nice. Yes, it'll make the material arrangements good. But the point is if that's not being done with the purpose of pleasing Krishna, then what's the point? Even if you have the society going materially very well, socially well, economically well, all these different things, if people aren't more Krishna conscious, what's the point? They'll just get distracted. Just like in the heavenly planets. How much talk about Krishna consciousness do we discuss in relationship to the heavenly planets? Right? Generally when we discuss Krishna consciousness, we have to go a bit above the heavenly planets. You know, either here or in Satyaloka. But what's in between, you know, the Bhuvar and Swa, that's where they generally don't discuss about Krishna.
When they have problems. When they have problems.
Only when they have problems. And that's only in Swa. In Bhuvar, then they just come up with a new plan. Right. We never found out what was the plan. The bus is hanging over the cliff with all the gold and it's sliding, and then it ends and he just says, I have an idea. You know, so they don't actually have one.
Like many times when we approach various devotees, some are very fine in the way they express out, so that, like in a modern scenario, others can understand. But there are others who may not be as fine, but when we go near them, they have that mood is consistent for both of them.
It's just a matter of the culture. You're just dealing conditioning. So the problem is we're thinking that refined conditioning is the symptom of devotional service. No, devotional service is the symptom of devotional service. And as a side thing, then there'll be the other point. So if we focus too much on the qualities and not on the devotion, we still miss the point. Because otherwise, there's plenty of really, really nice materialists. So nice. I mean, it could be totally atheistic. Real nice people. They'll always deal nice. That's the culture that they have. That's how they were brought up. They'll always deal nice. They don't like you, they'll still deal nice. You know what I'm saying? Well, generally, if you go around with a putty knife and scrape things off the street, then, you know, in their, you know, so-called honesty and straightforwardness, they're totally uncultured. You know what I'm saying? So when they say, I'm just being honest, just mean what they're saying says, I'm going to be uncultured here because I don't actually have the character to say it in a nice way. But they cover it by saying, oh, it's honest. You know. So they want to hear what the other person has to say? Not at all. So it's just a matter of culture. So if one develops in devotional service, you will see the same devotion and the same culture, But you'll see there'll be maybe a difference in sophistication. So that's the thing. In the Vedic system, a gentleman's a gentleman, whether he's sophisticated or not. So you can have a village gentleman, and he'll be considered on the same cultured platform as the city gentleman or the aristocratic gentleman. They'll deal with each other very nicely. There'll never be a problem. The one won't think the other one's a problem, you know, snooty or uncultured. Or they're gentlemen. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, sophisticated or not. If you're not behaving properly, no one will accept you as a gentleman. That's the Vedic viewpoint. The modern is if you're rich, you're sophisticated, you're intellectual, then automatically you're better than those who are not. Though in actuality, not necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
So Maharaj, this Vaishnava mood is permeated everywhere that we are doing for Krishna.
Yes.
And generally when we, sometimes somebody who is not having that mood enters, it can be sensed like...
Yes, of course. Because then they think that their skill, their knowledge, that's their qualification. That's what he's saying. So there's still some mode of ignorance. But by association, they'll get purified, that will go away. So then they can use that skill in Krishna's service as it's needed. So it's, one has to see, it always has to come back to the devotion. If the devotion is left out of the equation, and we can say, yeah, of course, we're devotees, we unite, that, then they go on. But there's still, that means they're overemphasizing the secondary. Because then, to get the secondary done, I don't necessarily have to behave in a cultured way. Because it's being done for Krishna, which it is. But the point is that balance is what attracts Krishna's attention. Because the point is, if you're so good at the practicalness of it, you know, to get a result for Krishna, but the point is that will get the external result. You're doing the secondary activities, you're getting the secondary result. But what's the experience of something that is expertly done in a bad attitude? It doesn't give us a good experience. So was it actually a good offering? You know what I'm saying? Let's say I take the most expensive, most elaborate preparation. You know, the presentation, everything's perfect. But if someone comes along and just tosses it on the table, it's not going to work out. You could say, no, but it's the best preparation. You don't get better than this. You know what I'm saying? But still, it's not going to be appreciated. Well, let's say you go to a real, you know, inexpensive place, and the person that gives you the food is very nice, then you'll appreciate it. So of the two, the attitude is more important. So all this, we're just being practical, it's just covering up that I don't know how to behave. Now, you don't know how to behave, you're being practical, you engage that in Krishna's service, yes, that's good, you'll get purified, but don't think that that's good enough. You have to improve the quality. Right? And if you're being lazy and not actually being practical, just saying, oh, it doesn't matter, it's all about the mood, that also has to be improved because the results for Krishna. So the point is this, best results, best attitude, that's what's being offered. Right? But of the two, the attitude is what you can control. You can't always control the environment and the results. So that's where time, place, and circumstance comes in. But the attitude, there's no such thing as time, place, and circumstance with devotion. Mm-hmm. It's constant. But the secondary is time, place, and circumstance. You understand? So we have to understand, we say, oh, it's time, place, and circumstance, Prabhu. Yeah, that's for the external. What about the attitude? Is that... In Bhagavad Gita 1:21, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Stapaya Me Chuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. But this is one ajnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of ananda chinmaya rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. They're the only one. So it's that mood. Because he is controlling everything. So control is overrated. Right? Getting things that you want, that's overrated. It's the devotion in which things are done. That's the whole point that brings it out. So it comes back again to that person. So the topmost personal understanding is the relationship with Krishna as a person, what he likes. Right? Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Jashoda. Footnote 31. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 20 to Bhagavad Arkramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So they're doing great things, right? Brahma's creating the whole thing, Shiva's destroying the whole thing. Right? So that's the whole, that there. Shiva's very detached. Brahma, you know, displays his pastime as a perfect grihastha. Like that. And the goddess of fortune, she is, like it says, the better half of the Lord. But the point is the opulence and these things like that, that's not going to attract the Lord's attention. Because the point is he is the creator, he is the maintainer, he is the destroyer. So what is it that's being offered by these positions that's not already him? Right? So we see the devotion offered by these three personalities. Now that pleases the Lord. So we shouldn't take from this that Lakshmi can't please the Lord. It means it's the devotion, but the devotion that will be shown by Mother Jashoda, that you won't see the goddess of fortune displaying, because it's in Aishwarya. She's the wife. She does certain things. But here, she's going, and so his position as the Supreme Lord is never diminished. Right? And she's the supreme Shakti, and so like this, then that's their position. But we see is that Mother Jashoda goes beyond that he's the Supreme Lord. Even though she can't tie the rope, she's determined because she wants to correct the son. She feels if he's not corrected, then he's just going to grow up to be a bad boy, and therefore how will that work out for him? Socially, no one will like him, he'll be, you know, this and that. He may have some facility as the king's son, but no one will appreciate. She doesn't want that. So therefore, she's trying to correct him. So that position going by, that's just that affection only, that you're not going to see in any of these personalities. They're always going to maintain that sense of Krishna being the supreme. So that's why then, that her love, that's given as Prayojana. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse is spoken on seeing the exceptional devotion of the Queen of Raja among all the devotees, which brought Krishna under exceptional control. Vimukti here means Vishesha Mukti, or specialized Mukti, or Prema. Right? So Prema is the topmost form of Mukti, because it includes, it already includes mukti. Vimukti Da is the giver of prema, Krishna. The inconceivable mercy that Jashoda attained from the giver of prema, Krishna, was not received by Brahma, Virinchaha. It was not received by Shiva, Bhavaha. It was not received by Lakshmi, Srihi. As the negative statement is repeated three times, it emphasizes the exceeding times three absence of mercy. Right? So it's even showing it's you know, not even a third. Right? So it's showing it's just that. So that whole thing of Krishna and opulence, then he's pleased because of the devotion. But the devotion showed by the residents of Braja, then that cannot be compared. Or with the word api, the sentence can mean even though they receive mercy, it was not to the extent of Jashoda. Right? So either you're showing the greatness of hers, how there's less, or they have mercy but not like what she's getting. Whichever you want to look at it, from the positive or the negative. Brahma is the son of Bhagavan and the Adi Guru of the devotees. Adi Devo Jagatam Paro Guruhu. Shiva is the soul of Bhagavan. He is considered superior to Brahma, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lakshmi, residing on the chest of Vishnu, is superior to Shiva and Brahma, the shelters of Sakya and Dasyarasa. But Jashoda is superior to her. Right, so Brahma is that servitorship, Shiva is that friendship. Right? But then she's superior to that. Does that make sense? So even the rasa is higher. Therefore, it is wrong to think that this Jashoda. It's wrong to think that. Therefore, it is wrong to think then that this. Think then that this. Jashoda is the sadhana siddha, who is given a boon in a previous lifetime as Dara and Dara by Brahma. The prema of Jashoda cannot be attained as a result of Brahma's boon. For Brahma himself prays to become a blade of grass in Braja. Right? So if her prema is higher, so it's not there, so we can see it's just a pastime, so we appreciate that one should make that endeavor. One should, you know, apply one's sadhana as best as one can to please Krishna. Brahma is indeed counted in a much, much lesser class, because of the three, he's the lower one. Right? Of him, Shiva, and Lakshmi. O Parikit, though you know about the Nanda and Jashoda, who are famous in the scriptures as Nitya Siddhis, in answer to your casual question about Nanda and Jashoda's austerities in previous lives, 10.8.46, I told the story of Drona and Dara, who are their small, very small parts. So, small, very small. So, the small of the small, like Krishna's a portion of a plenary portion. Right? Srila Prabhupada summarizes. Mother Jashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a Nityasiddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Ladini potency. His potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Ananda Chinmayarasa Pratibhavitabhi. Brahma Samhita 5.37. Such devotees are not sadhana siddha. So the internal potency, the Ladini potency here, is expanding these other aspects. So we see the Hladini is first, then Samvitsandini. Everything else is coming from there. The mercy is there, everything else comes from there. Right? Pleasing Krishna's desires, everyone else is in line with and subservient to this process of approaching and pleasing Krishna. Right?
Mm-hmm. The Nityasiddha devotees, they are not Jiva.
Nityasiddha may be Jiva, may not be Jiva. It doesn't matter. Nityasiddhas, just Nityasiddhas. So, I mean, I've never heard that they're jivas, but we hear that the maidservants of Radharani, they're jivas. Yes. And so, but as we can understand, if someone can attain to any of these positions in relationship with Krishna, yes. You know, Madhavendra Puri, yes. As that Kadamba tree that he, that Divya Drindaranya Kalpa Drumara. Yeah, that Krishna is sitting under the Kalpa Vriksha tree, that's Madhavendra Puri. But we don't hear that he's a jiva. But if anybody wants to serve in that capacity, jivas can, you know, or as cows or cowherd boys or servants or parents or conjugal lovers, the jivas can. But it's not that the main devotees, they're all going to be internal parts of it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. So Radharani expands as these others, and then they have their devotees. Mm-hmm. So then the Radharani's position is the topmost. She is the devotee. Everybody else is servant of her. So Mother Jashoda is actually assisting in Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, if you want to have conjugal pastimes, then you know they have more of a meaning if there's kind of a social environment.
Yes.
You're just floating in a cloud somewhere, like the Hindus like to point out, in an Om sign, then how conjugal does it get? You know what I'm saying? So that he has a family, he has this and that, because then the whole thing is, how do you match? How do you make the taste of that? So he's the son of, you know, the king. She's the daughter of the king.
Yes.
Right? Because basically you can say three Vaishyas are king of the whole Vrindavan scene. Right? Nanda Baba sees that area. Then the Varshana side, that's seen by Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And then, what's his name? Yavat and Govardhan Mazumdar. He sees that side, what's in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Krishna's side, Radharani's side, and then what's in between.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then, but of them, then Nanda Baba is the king overall. You know, like that. That's why when Mother Jashoda requests that Radharani come and cook for Krishna, then it works. Otherwise, if they were just three separate kings, then it wouldn't work. You know, maybe over in your kingdom, you know, but my kingdom, you know. So like that. So then it has something. Then they have that equalness there. Then also that there's a distance, so they have to go and meet. Therefore, Sankate has a meaning. You know what I'm saying? All these things, they have meaning. So the more you establish these social elements, the more they bring out rasa. That's the whole point. They're for rasa. Varnashram is for rasa. We take it as social economic. In other words, control and money.
Yes.
Main thing is money. You know, as long as we make money, then it works. But it's not. It's about relationship. That's why it's a secondary aspect. It's in support of. Varnashram then is the religious part. Right, and then within that, then you have money and the things, so that makes it work.
Yes.
Right, because within Varnashram you have knowledge, you have influence, you have money, and you have, you know, service.
Yes.
So all that's in support of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And religion is so you can understand we're not the body, we're the soul, and that understanding is so that we take up service to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see it as a complete thing.
Mm.
If we only separate it out in its own thing, then it's like, you know, the modern medicine. You know, you take a quinine tree, and it has bark. You take that bark, grind it into powder, it will get rid of malaria. Okay? So, that's how you use it. You get no reactions to it. But, modern medicine will come along and go, what do we need all this bark for? That's very bulky. We could just take the working ingredient out of it. So out of the 20 ingredients there, they take the one. Then you take it. Yes, it does get rid of malaria. It also gets rid of your liver and so many other things. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And it tastes worse than the quinine. You know, the bark. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's how these things work, is that we just take out of it what we think is important and leave the whole thing. So, you know, why do they need all this? No, it's because all this together makes for the expression of rasa. It's the environment in which rasa can nicely be expressed. It gives rise to all the variety. So it's the secondary aspect. It's the feminine aspect. It has all that to it. But that primary, that love, is Krishna. Krishna is rasa. Raso vaisaha. He's rasa. Everybody else is in a rasa. He's not. Krishna's not in a rasa. He is rasa. Right? So there's the difference there. So he is rasa. Then the forms and activities of those rasas, that's his energy. Is that what I'm saying? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Jashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators. To those who strive for self-realization by severe austerities and penance, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Footnote 32. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 20 to 21 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the book. Right? So, in other words, the devotee, or the bhakti shakti, that's the actual thing. These other ones, they're used in devotional service. Right? Means you're going to use your intellectual abilities, you're going to analyze things, but if you think the analyzation is the total package, then it's going to be very slow to catch Krishna. Then self-realization by severe austerities and penances. Now that's there. Someone's very austere, someone's very simple in how they live and do that. That's good. It's useful in devotional service because one's detached from the material energy. But at the same time, it's not devotion itself. It can be engaged in devotion. Right? Or those who consider the body the same as the self, then they're also a problem. That we say, oh, we're devotees, so we're on the transcendental platform, and then in the same breath we'll say, you know, we'll say we're not the bodies, but then we're Westerners.
Yes.
So we can't follow this sadhana. So that means we're identifying is that the body is what makes devotion. But the soul being separate, the soul can engage the body however it needs to be engaged. But that's according to what the acharyas say, not according to what we say. Because otherwise, why is it we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care about the rules, but then at the same time there's other rules that we care so much about? And which rules? The ones we've made up, or the ones that we've grown up with so we're comfortable with. So it's either you accept rules or you don't. Right? Does that make sense? And you accept what's the higher principle. So if you're going to do, is rules are to please Krishna, therefore if a modern rule doesn't please Krishna, if it doesn't have to be followed, why would we follow it? If it's a matter by not following it, then it will create problem for our expression of devotion when we follow it. Right? But there is no Western rule, what you eat, what you wear, or anything like that. There isn't. Right? You want to do business, okay, you wear a suit. Right? And generally speaking, if you go down to the beach, you don't wear a suit. Like that. Even if it's the Riviera, right? You know, when you cross the boardwalk and go into those hotels, that's where you wear the suit. So, but otherwise, then where's the rule? So we say, oh, we're Westerners, we can't do this. Where's the rule saying what a Westerner does? What is Western food?
Potato.
Potato. Bengalis could say the same thing. Depends on whether you're putting butter or putting mustard oil. They say, oh, we can't eat this mustard oil, this and that, but then they'll put tons of mustard on their sandwich. You know? And hot mustard. You know, it comes out your nose and ears and everything else. And then there's those who get into wasabi.
But they're not Westerners.
No, they're not Westerners, but Americans, they get into anything. If they like something, they get into it on a total, absolute trip. You know, if they like the Japanese, everything's Japanese. Their home is Japanese. The pictures are Japanese. They eat Japanese food. They wear Japanese shoes. They do everything Japanese. You know, whatever they're into. If they're into medieval, they walk around looking medieval. You know, it just doesn't matter. If they're a goth, they're totally a goth. And, you know, it's just whatever they're into. It's just, so.
If they get into Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, then they should be Krishna conscious. Yes. Yeah.
That's what happens.
You know, they just have to take off their funny leather socks when they come to the temple if they're medieval. Like that. Because they were wearing them outside. Yeah, so the whole point is these things can be engaged in Krishna's service, but they, if that's the identity and that's the method, that's going to be very slow. It's that endeavoring to please Krishna through devotion. That's the actual point. Mm-hmm. But it's not saying we have devotion, you actually have to have devotion. Because Krishna can tell the difference.
But now we need at least to identify as a devotee.
We have to identify as a devotee. then we can use these things. But the point is that if we get too distracted, like the bodily self, the self is not, but we can understand the body has a nature. Therefore, according to that nature, we engage that according to what Shastra says. Right? Nature is there. It's created by God. It's the modes of nature. Right? Therefore, then how those function is defined in scriptures, not by anything else. Then we follow the rules and regulations connected with that bodily identification for use in Krishna's service. But we're taking it from Shastra, not rejecting Shastra to do whatever we want, and then claim that we're being transcendental. Right? These are contradictions that do not give profit. Right? So just like contradictions can give profit more if they know how to use, but if you don't know how to use them, then they will give you the biggest trouble. Yes.
This identity as a devotee, if we meditate on Shikshastaka, it's a fifth verse already, which is quite advanced. So, for many devotees, this identity isn't installed right in the beginning, and then they just drag it on and on and on until, Ananda Tanuja Kinkara, and that is, after Anartha Nibriti, Nishtha, and like that.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we...
Because that's the first thing that's being pointed out. We're devotees of Krishna. That's why then we choose what to do. So you have to, in other words, if one has the ability or the facility, then one educates them. What is the conditioned nature they're working with? But the whole point is why are they working with it? And who's working with it? The soul's working with it. So the soul, as a devotee of Krishna, whether we're very realized it or not, we're trying to, in pursuance of pure devotional service, try to engage our conditioned nature according to the time, place, and circumstance in Krishna's service. So that's something that you can at least theoretically explain to the newest person. But then the point is that means you have to understand what is the nature of the soul and the nature of the conditioning. But if we only use political correctness, it doesn't define what is nature. It only defines what I'm pleased with at the moment and my friends who are in a position of authority. It doesn't actually define what is the nature of anything, because it's about mental speculation that I can attribute any nature to anything as I please. Right? Does that make sense? Somebody makes a statement. And some people go, this is great, this is fabulous, this is wonderful. Someone else will say, this is terrible, this is disgusting, who does this guy think he is? All depending upon how they interpret it. So we have to understand this political correctness is a philosophy. It's hermeneutics of how to interpret words. That the word it means whatever they say, you'll interpret it according to a political position. And the correctness is defined by ourselves. Political, that you can say is the stibob. It's political. That's fixed. But what is correct, that's going to be according to the flavor of the day. Which way, when you wake up in the morning, you stick your index finger in your mouth, and then hold it out the window and see which way the wind's blowing, and then accordingly you speak. Right? So it's a philosophy, just like modern science is a philosophy. Academics, it's a philosophy. Mm-hmm. Economics, it's a philosophy. So they're all varieties of religion with their particular purpose that they want to gain. They may have some aspects that are recommended by scriptures that show that will give them more better results. Other ones are not. So therefore it doesn't it's just in other words, those who use political correctness effectively, it's not the religion for them. There's something higher. Like someone's an administrator, he uses politics for administration. Mm-hmm. Right? But if you're a politician, then that is your lifestyle. Nobody likes politicians. Right? Leadership, people appreciate. Politicians, no one ever appreciates. Right? Maybe someone's a little bit better, so they're kind of hoping he'll be a leader rather than a politician. But then when he does something stupid, oh, he's just another politician. So that's the point, is that political correctness, you're automatically taking something that nobody likes. It's like middle management. Everybody hates middle management. The top guys and the bottom guys. Nobody likes middle management. And no middle manager likes the other middle manager. So why would you pick the worst position and then try to make that the universal standard? So, I mean, if you want to be universally hated, then hey, that's the way to go about it. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be able to appreciate that all these positions, taking them, and so being able to explain to somebody what actually is the standard. We're not the body, but the body being the body, it has a particular nature. Who defines that? Krishna. What is it used for? That's defined by Krishna. So therefore, take that nature and engage it in Krishna's service. Then it's you're not the body, but this is what you have, so therefore you do it. You know, it's like, let's say, before a festival, handing out different services. Someone's going to go do the marketing, someone's going to do the management, someone's going to do the accounts, someone's going to do... That doesn't mean that you're the accounts. But that's what you're doing. So according to the nature of the thing, you will act. You will do accounts according to the religion of accounts. You'll market according to the religion of marketing. You'll manage according to the religion of management. But that doesn't mean you are that. So if this is pointed out, then very, very easily you can understand the whole Varnashram system and how we're not the body, but at the same time how the structure works, how those two seemingly opposite things work together. So it will actually be easier to train new devotees than it will. Mm. It's hard to bend an old bamboo.
Yes.
Right? But the new people, this will be really, really, really easy. You know, amazingly easy, actually. You know, there'll be some little difference here and there in how much control and this and that, because the focus is on the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be actually easier to explain it. So if one does that, then it works out very nicely. So that's all you have to do, is that whatever you see is lacking, just discuss it in general, but specifically those who respond, then put the emphasis there. So in other words, you throw it out. Those who catch it, whether they're new or old or whatever they are, then with them you put in that extra time and try to train them in that. And slowly, slowly that'll start to have influence on everybody else. But it's a very gradual, because you're dealing with culture, with how you apply the religion. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. Because, yeah. Okay. Do we read what Vishwa? Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Srimad Bhagavatam propounds prema to Bhagavan as the highest goal of all human endeavors. Among all the devotees, prema is permanently situated in those in the position of Nitya Siddha. Right? Because if you're in Sadhana Siddha, it means it hasn't gotten there yet. So once it comes to prema, where it's permanent, right? And that position, then one is Nitya Siddha. It's only presented there, because even Bhava is not Nitya Siddha.
Yes.
Among the Nitya Siddhas, the inhabitants of Gokul, such as Krishna's mother and father, are the best. The Krishna who is controlled by their Vatsalya is easily obtained by those who follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Gokula. He is not available to others. In other words, this Krishna you won't get by any other method. It's only by following the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. That's the whole thing. It means Krishna in a different mood you can get. Yes. Mm. Brahma, Shiva, they can get Krishna in the Vaikuntha mood.
Mm.
But if you want Krishna in the mood in Braja, then it's only by following the residents of the those of Braja.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of Gokul. Because here in this case, they're still living in Gokul. They haven't moved to Vrindavan yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the bigger area, but it's still that side of it. So in here, Gokul also means that area.
Yes.
Gokul can also mean Braj itself. Gokul can mean when Krishna comes and performs his pastimes here in the material world, the whole thing, or here in the material world in that area called Gokul. So it can mean any of that. The son of the gopi, Gopika Sutta, Krishna is not easily obtainable by devotees who still identify with the body, Dehi Nam, by those devotees who no longer identify with the body, Yani Nam, but who are contented with the self, Atma Bhutanam. Right? Because they're just contented. How will that catch Krishna? How will that conquer Krishna? Though they are devotees of sorts, they never attain the opportunity to serve Braja Krishna. But when they enter into Braja Bhakti, through the influence of the association of the inhabitants of Braja, they attain qualification. So we see it's only by the association. So the whole thing is association of devotees. The whole thing is 64 items of devotees. It's association of devotees. That creates everything else. By associating with devotees, you take up chanting, you take up hearing Bhagavatam, you take up worshipping the deity, you take up living in the Dham. So that's actually the central thing. Right? Central activity will be hearing and chanting, but it's still the association of devotees that causes that. So that's why then, in the chanting of the holy name, the offense against the devotees, that's the worst.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktarinda ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana ki.